Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, March 31st. As a dreadful March comes to an end, I'm not expecting April to be much better, but certainly glad to see March go out the rearview window. As always, I hope everyone is safe and healthy as we continue to try and provide a distraction and some entertainment in a otherwise not fun time to be alive at the moment. But again, I most importantly hope everyone is staying safe, staying healthy out there. All right, let's dive in. Let's talk a little Phillies baseball. Yesterday, we talked about when baseball could come back, how it could come back, the stipulations agreed to by the players union and the Major League Baseball and so on and so forth. Today I thought, let's get back into a little Phillies talk. I'm sure we'll do some other non-Phillies stuff this week and just general baseball stuff, but it's been a few days since we dove into some specific Phillies talk. We'll get coming up into the X factors of the season, something I've been talking about for a few days now, diving into. But first, we actually have a little bit of Phillies news, sadly not on the best front, but not surprising either. Sir Anthony Dominguez gets an opinion from a doctor about his re-injuring of his elbow, and the doctor recommends Tommy John surgery. Not surprising in the least. As you know, if you've listened to the show at all, you know that I was pounding the table saying that I thought the rehab option for Sir Anthony Dominguez was a bad idea. It wasn't going to work out. It never works out. As Masahiro Tanaka, the only time it's ever worked out, he doesn't throw 9,900, and it didn't work out, and it's not a surprise. It's a bummer. It's certainly a bummer for Sir Anthony Dominguez. Figure 12 to 18 months, so we see him pitching again, assuming he listens to the doctor. Who would have thunk James Andrews didn't get this one right? Usually he knows what he's doing. It is a shame though. And look, it's not a simple game. I'm obviously being somewhat glib about it, but it is frustrating because Sir Anthony, the most talented guy in this bullpen, still was when he was pitching great and still is right now, minus the injury, and he's not gonna be around for a while. And the biggest shame of it, as I've talked about, obviously the biggest shame is for Sir Anthony, that sucks, but the biggest shame from a Phillies perspective is that the Phillies this season, if you want to criticize him for, and there are multiple things that are criticizing for this offseason, as we've talked about, but the number one thing was saying, oh, Sir Anthony will be fine. Sir, we can count on Sir Anthony. Horrible, horrible, horrible decision. Horrible decision, and they deserve to be criticized for that. As again, all they had to do was listen to this show, and I would have told them, don't count on him coming back from rehab because then no one ever does. It just doesn't work. It's just what it is. Like, I don't even know why they offer a rehab option for major league pitchers. Maybe that works for people who don't throw the ball 100 miles an hour, but it just seems like every time someone is in this situation, whether it's Garrett Richards or any of these guys who try and do the rehab, it never works. It never works. At some point, they always end up having to get Tommy John surgery, and it's a shame because this team put a lot of eggs in the Sir Anthony basket, and they're not getting for a while, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating because they didn't. His situation was what it was, and I don't blame him for trying to rehab. I mean, who wants surgery if they don't have to get it? He had, the foremost doctor in this field telling him he could rehab it. I get it. I'm not blaming Sir Anthony at all. I'm not blaming James Andrews, whatever. I'm blaming the Phillies for not having a backup plan. That's all I'm saying. I think that the Phillies to not have a backup plan, that's a huge miss. I mean, it's a massive miss by the Phillies, and it is incredibly frustrating. It was incredibly frustrating. But something we knew was coming, you know, especially after he re-injured it, was just not. You're basically waiting for this to happen. I'm honestly surprised it took this long. I would have figured you would have had the Tommy John by now. But it's a bummer nonetheless, and it's a bummer that the Phillies weren't prepared for it, which, you know, everyone else was, and that's a shame. All right, let's talk a little Phillies. Let's have a little fun. Let's look at some X factors for this season. When you look at this Phillies roster, you know, we all know what Bryce Harper is. We all know what JT Realmuto is. You know, we know, obviously, we know Andrew McCutchen needs to be healthy and contributing. I get all that. That's all important stuff, and it's all pretty standard. You know, we know the ins and outs of that. What I want to talk about today are the X factors, the guys whose performance can make or break this team depending on which way it goes. You know, and that's not, we know, and to be fair, by that description, obviously that's Bryce Harper, that's JT Realmuto, that's Didi Gregorius, that's all these guys, but more of the lesser known commodities, more of the, you know, will they or won't they type of situations, not something you're counting on. Look, if Bryce Harper stinks, this team's in a lot of trouble. We all know that. I'm talking about the guys who can kind of turn the season for the good if they're better than expected, and it's conceivable that they will be. That's really where I'm going. So I have six names technically, but five slots. You'll see what I'm talking about. And I think, look, on the flip side, while I just talked about the Realmutos and the Harpers, sure, if Nick Pivetta or Vince Velasquez is great, that could, or is even good, that could certainly put a different spin on the season, but you can't expect that. You know, that's not a realistic type of thing. If it happens, great. And Pivetta, maybe you could say, you know, with a new pitching coach and all that. But I'm talking about the more realistic X factors, things that you could project it to happen. They could be this person. So let's start. Six names, seven technically, actually, but six. Let's start with a guy who a lot of people were out on after last season for a number of reasons, but is someone who I think we forget what a good hitter he is. And if he can adapt to a new position in the field, Gene Segura is an X factor for this team this year. And it's also funny because, you know, they do have some backup plans and all that, but this is a guy who prior to last year had a down year, still about a 280 in a down year, but prior to that, 304, 300, 319 in each of the three preceding seasons. He had 203 hits in 2016. This is someone who can be an offensive weapon for a team. You know, someone who the Phillies don't really have a lot of guys like. You know, he's someone who is a pure hitter, is going to put the bat on the ball more often than not. You know, that's something where, you know, the Phillies don't have a lot of guys like that. The Phillies are more of a boomer bust hitting type of team. But a guy like Segura is someone who you can count on in situations to put the ball in play, whether it's a hit and run or those types of things that we haven't seen the Phillies do a lot the last few years, obviously. I think you'll see more of that type of stuff with Joe Girardi at the helm. But Segura is the kind of guy who really can make or break the season for the Phillies, and someone who, you know, if he and you can find ways to explain away the year last year. You know, if you look at the precipitous drop in his play after the McCutchen injury, if he, which he's already said he takes some responsibility for, I mean, you can understand maybe why he had a bit more of a down season after that. I mean, that's logical in a lot of ways. So, and the prior 3 years, obviously, had just been such a good hitter. And I don't know if he's ever going to be an awesome locker room guy, clubhouse guy. We'll see. But he, you know, came into camp in good shape. He quit drinking. Hopefully that's still something he's been riding with. Gene Segura has the potential to be a really good hitter for this team this year and potentially not as big a defensive liability if not playing shortstop. And I think for that reason, he has to be considered an X factor for this team as someone who could really kind of change their fortunes with a good run. All right, number two, also an infielder or an outfielder, but more an infielder. Scott Kingery is the other clear batter lineup type X factor for me this year. Obviously, his ability to play multiple positions is X factory in and of itself because he can really help you when needed. But just in terms of taking another step forward, we saw last year Kingery really come out of the gate hot and then gets injured and comes back and never kind of got back to that level, but showed a lot of pop, showed a lot of speed. Fastest guy on the team, it felt like, just from watching him play. Has real kind of giddy up when you're watching him. And someone who maybe, if he's just going to play second base, if he's going to feel comfortable with his position and just focus on that all year, came into camp yoked, looked like gigantic, was a top 30, 40 prospect in baseball at one point. Like, this is not someone who doesn't have the pedigree, the ability, the talent underneath it all to be an elite type of offensive player. He could do that. He could be that type of guy. I mean, there's a reason the Phillies signed him to a unprecedented type of contract before the season, before his first season, just because, you know, 2 years ago. They did that because they believed in his future and him being, you know, they gave him $42 million before he ever stepped on the field, or $24 million or whatever it was, $24 million with the chance for it to be $42 million. It was unprecedented. And it was all because Scott Kingery is someone who had that type of pedigree, who has succeeded at every level. And his rookie year was just a rough year. You know, he wasn't ready. It looked it. Last year, we saw him take a real leap forward. I mean, he was a quality player for this team last year. And someone who has a real chance to be a X-factor type player for this team this year, because if he can take another step forward, and again, just a monster step from year one to year two, 19 homers last year as opposed to 8 the year before, 258 average as opposed to 226, was just better, had more control of what he was doing, felt like a better player, and that was in less games last year. He had 19 homers in 126 games as opposed to 8 homers in 147 games. And now, potentially with the ability to play his natural position, he's still a young guy. He's still only 25 years old. I think, you know, people think that Kingery's way older than he is. Granted, he'll be 26 in the near future, but Scott Kingery is someone who's still young, still has the potential, and was someone who was an elite, elite type of prospect. And I think you put all those things together, especially the leap he took from year one to year two. And I think that Kingery, with an everyday spot, same spot in the lineup, being able to focus on just going out and hitting and doing his thing, I think we could see Scott Kingery take a leap forward. And if Scott Kingery takes a leap forward, that's the type of guy who can be a major X factor for this team. Again, I believe we will see Scott Kingery take a step forward. I don't know if it'll be as much of a leap as we hope, and as much of a leap as possible. I mean, it is possible he takes a massive leap. That's really what's on the table as an X-factor type of player. I mean, really one of the widest swings in terms of what his season could be versus what it, you know, the downside versus the upside. I think there's so much there for Scott Kingery. I'm really excited to see Kingery get to play whenever this season finally gets underway, because, again, the potential was always there. He's someone who's always had, came up with that type of pedigree, and we finally saw flashes of it last year. We really did, and I'm just excited to see the next step and see if that kind of translates into next season. All right, next player to watch, and it's going to be a 2-for-1, and a little unfair, I get it, but it's Zach Eflin and Jake Arrieta, and to be fair, it's really Zach Eflin. I'm throwing Arrieta in there just because they need one of those two guys to do something for them. That's really the X factor. If they can have Nola and Wheeler be the guys they expect them to be, and then have a third guy, and then just get by with bats, get by with a few good starts here and there from those other guys. I mean, that's a recipe for success. I mean, you can make the playoffs with that type of team. And Arrieta, we still don't know what's going on with the shoulder tightness in the last game of spring training. Obviously, you know, you hope there's time to heal, whatever. You assume he's okay, because it seems like they really downplayed it and we haven't heard anything else about it. But Arrieta, if he can put it together in a contract year, but more likely Zach Eflin. If Zach Eflin can take a step forward, we've seen Eflin for stretches, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 starts in a row, be a dynamite pitcher, a 3 in the majors, someone you can count on to go out and take the ball and give you, at worst, a quality start. We've seen Zach Eflin do that before. And I think if Eflin can put it together, working with Brian Price, you know, the not fighting for a spot in the rotation, kind of just locked in as who he is, and another year in the majors. I mean, if Eflin can take a step forward like that, that's the kind of thing that could really change the dynamics of this team, change this team's fortunes, especially if it is a shortened season or whatever. And again, it has to be Arrieta or Eflin. You have no faith in Pivetta or Velasquez or Ranger Suarez or any of those guys. So it has to be one of those two guys. But I think it can be, and I think Eflin's the guy you really pigeonhole. If we're putting one person on the X-Factor list, if we're not going to do a two-for-one, it's going to be Zach Eflin. Well, get out of here, Jake. Hope for the best, expect the worst. But Zach Eflin, again, we've seen the upside. And it's not like Eflin is, you know, great. It's not like you feel like he has a chance to be an ace or anything like that. But he knows how to pitch. He's a smart pitcher. And we've seen what it looks like when he has success for stretches of times, when he's got his command and the fastball up in the zone is working and all that stuff. That's what we need to see from him, and that's believable. That's something that theoretically could happen. And it would be a massive changing point for this season, a matching tipping point, the type of pivot point that could make the season go one way or the other. I think Zach Eflin's that type of guy because they need something from a third starter, and Eflin has the potential to be a third starter. All right, a couple more names here. Let's go with, before we get to the last two, which are the most obvious X-Factor names coming into the season, one more I want to hit on, and it's Hector Neris. And it's Hector Neris because Joe Girardi's already said he's the closer, locked in. And it's Hector Neris more so because he is the best pitcher in this bullpen, and it's not a question. I like Jose Alvarez a little bit. I like Adam Morgan a little bit. Tommy Hunter's okay. You know, there are a couple guys you like. A couple guys you're like, all right, I can count on that guy a little bit to a certain level. Hector Neris is the only legit high-end reliever in this bullpen right now. And it's crazy to think of him that way, but I think we forget how good Hector was for the last half of last season at least, and really all year last year, but the last half of the season, the you know, last quarter, third of the season, he was one of the best relievers in baseball. I mean, he was awesome. He was a legit shutdown reliever, and when his stuff is on, it's nasty. And I think that, obviously, you know, you've heard me talk about the bullpen. I've said that I think it's the most, the number one area of the team that you would be most worried about going into the season. I feel better about the starters than I do about the bullpen. That says something. But if they can have Hector Neris at the back end and be shut down, be someone they can count on to close games out and all that, maybe they can figure their way through the rest. I don't feel confident about it, but we saw what they did last year. They were able to bring guys in, kind of fodder type of guys, and get the most out of them and use them in the right spots and all that. And you know, you feel great about Girardi managing that. You feel great about Brian Price working with these guys. And maybe some of the guys they signed, the Lirianos, the Swarzaks, they can kind of turn into that type of guy. But ultimately, you need that one dude you can count on. You need that one guy. Ideally, you need more than one guy. But if nothing else, they need one guy who they could say, all right, Hector's got it. We're good. We can shut this down. I feel good. Hector's that guy. He's the only guy who has a chance to be that guy in this pen. And he can be that guy. And he's really, really good. So Hector Neris, I think, a clear X-Factor guy for the season. All right, the last two, like I said, I think the most obvious ones on the list, they're the clear X-Factory ist X-Factors of the season. And it's Spencer Howard and Alec Bohm. Those two guys have the chance to change the fortunes of the season more than anyone else we've talked about because they have the elite talent. You know, they're guys who can step in and on the best nights be elite. Both top 30 prospects in the game. Let's start with Spencer Howard. I think Howard has the biggest chance to be an X-Factor this season, if for no other reason than just flat-out need. The fact that, like we just talked about, they need some guy to step in and be that other starter they can count on. And the most likely person is Spencer Howard, especially if it's a shortened season or whatever. But Spencer Howard has a chance to come in and be an elite arm for this Phillies team. He's the only guy on the team who, outside Aaron Nolan, Zach Wheeler, has the chance to be an elite pitcher. And we've seen the stuff. We know he can handle it. We know he can do it. And it's just a question of him coming up to the majors and doing it. But when you look at this team, when you look at the way it's laid out, you talk about the starting pitching, I mean, it's just the most obvious X factor on the team is Spencer Howard. It's that clear. You know, the one guy on the roster, majors or minors, whose contributions can take this team from good to great, most likely, based on what you expect from everybody, is Spencer Howard. You know, he's the guy you can come in and really give you so much more than you were expecting from at that spot. So I think Spencer Howard, just such a clear, massive X factor for this team. Like, hard to overstate it. I think he's the most important pivot point, tipping point, whatever, not tipping point, pivot point for this season as far as players go, period. Alec Bohm, also a major X factor because he can give you the ability to come up and grant, not a great defender, but come in and step in and give you another elite bat. And if Harper and Romuto and if Hoskins get back to being some form of Rhys Hoskins and McCutchen is firing and then you got Kingery and, you know, I mean, it has the chance to be an elite lineup. You know, one of the better ones in baseball with Alec Bohm as a part of it. Bohm seems like he's going to be ready to hit immediately. Like the moment he steps on a major league field, it seems like that dude's going to be able to hit. And it's such a massive advantage for the Phillies to have that type of guy that they can slide in. Now, granted, there are other teams that have this type of guy, so advantage is relative. But for this Phillies team to have Alec Bohm ready to go and step in, and again, to round it back, to bring it back home, you know, if Gene Segura X factors the wrong way, Alec Bohm right at third base, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe the defense isn't quite as good, but you've got that offense, and he'll hit, he'll bring it immediately. So, and he obviously offers such a higher ceiling to begin with. So I think Spencer Howard and Alec Bohm, when you look at the X factors on this team, the number one and number two X factors compared to obviously what you need, because they're not on the roster right now. And you're looking at the roster at what they have right now and what to expect from that. I think Alec Bohm and Spencer Howard, the two guys you can elevate to that and really change the complexion of the season in no uncertain terms. I mean, I think it's that massive a type of thing. And it makes me think, and those are my X factors for the season, by the way. And, you know, everyone interpret X factor. I look at it as, you know, based on what we expect from everybody, who can kind of shift the fortunes the most based on giving us more or giving us something, as it is with Howard and Bohm, than is expected now with the major league roster that we see set. But it also makes me think, as we're kind of wrapping up here, about the fact that when you look at these X factors and you look at the Phillies team right now, that I do think that in terms of which teams are helped or hurt by the layoff, and look, nobody's helped by the coronavirus, obviously, that's, you know, just asinine. But in terms of a shorter season, if it does end up being something where, you know, they play from July through, you know, early November, it ends up being 100 games or something like that, I do think the Phillies are on the better end of things for a couple reasons. One, Andrew McCutchen being able to start the season healthy, what a massive advantage is for that team. And Grant, this is only on the field, because off the field, JT Romito, they haven't signed him. So it's all kinds of questions about that, and we'll get into that more as the week and weeks go on. But I think McCutchen being healthy to start the season, the fact that Howard and Bohm, especially Howard, whose, you know, innings limit was going to be a major issue with this thing all year long, that there are just less innings on the table, that you can kind of bring him up a little faster in terms of the season itself, maybe a week into the season, 2 weeks into the season, 3 weeks into the season. But then he's there for a longer period of time, a larger portion of the season itself, so to speak. I think that's an advantage for the Phillies. And I think that, you know, having a smart manager and a managing, you know, coaching staff, I think this season more than any other is going to matter. I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, you're looking when everything is in chaos and a season is short and you're playing every day and all that, you're looking for stability. You're looking for less variance. And I think having Girardi at the helm creates less variance for the Phillies because they're going to play smart every night. They're going to be prepared to play every night. They're going to, you know, not make silly mistakes. And I think that in a shortened season, those things are amplified because each mistake kind of counts a little bit more because each game means more. And I just think the Phillies are set up well if it ends up being a sprint to the finish. And again, you know, even though I think one of the biggest advantages a team like the Dodgers has is the depth, crazy organizational depth that they can fire up throughout the season, even though that advantage might be muted, the Dodgers are still a better baseball team than the Phillies, like, significantly, and so are other teams in the National League. But I do think that the variance in the shortened season and the late start could be more beneficial to the Phillies than others. So I do think that is one thing you can look at as a positive for the Phils, you know, amid a layoff and whatever, again, not related to the coronavirus because there are no positives. We wish none of this were happening. So, all right, that was fun. X Factors, a little where they stand now talk. Coming up the rest of this week, we'll have a lot more fun. We'll talk some more Phillies. We'll talk a little power rankings in Major League Baseball. Get ready for that. Where do the Phillies rank? I mean, put all those teams in the Major League Baseball up against each other as they stand now, and there are, you know, transaction freezes we talk about. So the teams you see will be the teams that start the season. Where do they stand up whenever the season does start? That'll be fun. We'll dive into that later this week as well. And a whole lot more. So until then, stay healthy, stay safe out there, and we will be back tomorrow. So until then, thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.